for the invocation and the pledge.
Dear Lord, I pray that you guide us as always, satisfying the needs to be met during this meeting. Strengthen us and as we make tough decisions. I pray that we will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. I pray that we will be fruitful. Father, please guide us so that please guide us in this meeting so that we will be productive. Let us be effective and make decisive decisions. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The City of Kearney is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, will you please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Greider?
Here.
Councilmember Street? He did notify that she would not be in attendance. Councilmember Martin?
Here.
Mayor Aldrich?
Here.
We have a quorum.
At this time, we will have citizen participation, and we have two signed up to speak. First is Christopher Garza.
Good afternoon, Council. Since this is a budgetary meeting and we are looking at things to add and take away from our budget, first thing I would like to throw on there, or at least consider, is a speed trailer. We did try to, as a citizen, I did try to bring this up at a crime control meeting, and it was shot down as a big video game. But considering the circumstances of what just happened, a week ago or a couple weeks ago, I really truly believe that this is something that would really help the safety of the community, and it would help people slow down, and it would also help the police find the people who are speeding so that we don't have any more bad accidents. So really, that's the number one thing I wanted to put on there, and just to see if it was something that you guys might consider, because crime control did. Thank you.
Thank you. Willie Mae Clay. How are you this evening, Mrs. Clay?
I'm fine, and you?
Wonderful. Nice to see you.
Oh, good to be seen, let me tell you. Thank you. I'm going to take my mask off. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good afternoon, council members and citizens of Kirby. I'm here today primarily to ask that in your budgetary planning that you consider cooperating with the City of Kirby and coordinating with VIA to have an accessible platform put back at the bus stop at Charles Conrad and Old Seguin going out of Kirby. The bus stop was put back, but it did not include an accessible platform. It would be very helpful and advantageous to have an accessible platform put back at that bus stop so as persons that are mobility impaired leave the bus, it will be a smooth transition. That's one. And the other thing that I'm going to suggest to this body is that maybe you consider to have an award called Act of Kindness. Maybe, if not Act of Kindness, Good Samaritan. You know, in February, our state, or I know this area particularly, experienced an adverse situation because of the weather crisis. And let me tell you, if it weren't for the kindness and concern that the neighbors had of two primary neighbors. They came over to my house, brought me food, gave me some battery-operated flashlights. My daughters tried to come and rescue me, but they are in the northern part of the 35 corridor. The weather was so bad, they attempted, and they had to turn around and go back. But I'm telling you, I was so grateful to the two neighbors for helping me. And it took a span of about, 3 days. I was without water and without power. But they made sure, came and charged my phone so I could maintain contact, bought me food. It was just so wonderful. Just Sunday, the power went out in Kirby. You know about it? And so I was sitting there at my house. It was on the 6th. Power goes out suddenly at night. And I just sat there because I didn't want to navigate through my house. And let me tell you, in about 10 minutes or so, that means I need to stop.
Yes.
In 10 minutes or so, a knock came on my door. A person was frantically knocking. It was the Kirby police. Somebody cared enough about me to send the Kirby police to check on me because
yes,
we lost power. I'm going to suggest that you come up with an award, act of kindness, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
I now open up 6A, presentation and discussion on the City of Kirby Fund. Turn this over to R.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I will be doing the presentation for the different types of funds that we have, and you have a copy in front, and it's also on the screen for the residents. The general fund. We have three different types of funds. So the first one that we primarily use is a general fund. The general fund is expected to exist throughout the life of the government and used to finance the day-to-day operations of the city. The general fund finances fully or partially all activities that are typically considered governmental programs or functions of the city, as well as capital expenditures. Revenue from this fund are obtained from taxes, franchise fees, licenses, and permits, charges for services, fines, interest, and grants. So anything that we pay or that we collect, the taxes and franchise fees and all that goes into the general fund, and that is the day-to-day operations of all the departments except for the water department and the debt service. So that is what that fund is used for. The water fund policy. The water fund accounts for operations that are similar to a business found in the private sector. This fund is considered self-supporting in that the services rendered by is generally financed through the user charges. The water fund is to account for all activities for which a fee is charged to external users for items such as water and sewer charges or usage. Activities are reported in the context of the principal revenue sources. The water fund activity is financed with debt that is secured solely by pledge of the net revenue from fees and charges of the activity. Laws or regulations required that the activity cost of providing services, including capital cost, depreciation, and debt service, be recovered with the fees and charges of the water fund rather than with taxes or similar revenues. The pricing policy of the activity established fees and charges designed to recover its costs, including capital costs such as depreciation and or debt. So again, the water fund is solely on strictly the water. That includes all the water bills, the sewer, your meter deposit, all that. So all that is included in the water fund. It has to be separated. That is required, or the law. The debt service fund policy. The debt service fund is used to account for the accumulation of money designated for payment of general long-term principal, interest, and related costs. This includes any payments associated with the lease purchase revenue and certificate of obligation bond. So the only thing that we're using this debt service fund for right now would be the Series 2018 debt service bond that we, the citizens, approved for the Ackerman Road project. So that is what we use this account for. Now, how did the money get in there? The taxes are collected. As you remember, when we do our budget every year, we have to take a portion of that tax money, because it's based on taxes. We take a portion of that tax money and it goes into the debt service money. And that's how you make your payment on that debt service loan. We do have two loan payments a year. It's usually March and September. So those are the three different funds that we have. Okay, I know there's a lot of different bank accounts. Yes, there is, but these are primarily how it's separated from the general, the water and the debt service. So I just wanted to explain that. Does anybody have any questions on that? Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council, and citizens of Kirby. Maybe not. Okay. Well, I'll go by the paper presentation. You do have a copy of the slideshow that I was going to present to y'all, because I know it's hard for y'all to be able to see the screens. If you're looking at the paper presentation of that, you would just turn to the last page. But there's the packet that Tina gave you that has the fire department on it. The packet I gave you has the PowerPoint presentation with the little lines. First item would be a 2021 Pierce Enforcer fire truck. That is $665,509. That is to replace a 27-year-old 1993 Pierce fire truck. Excuse me. That is under some of the older standards that were standards in 1993. It would bring it up to newer standards, some of the safety factors that are with the new standards of fire trucks. National Fire Protection Agency, NFPA, actually recommends that after a fire engine is 25 years old, that it is retired from service. Our truck, or a spare truck, is 27 years old. So it's just a recommendation. But pretty substantial amount of our budget this year went towards some major repairs on the 93 Pierce fire truck. Second item would be a training simulator. It's a digital attack-based simulator, and what it does is you basically take a TV monitor that comes with it. It's retrofitted to be able to take a water hose direct hit from a fire hose or a laser beam, and you set it up. Like, I could set it up in the back corner of the council chamber with the computer, remote control. My guys could come in here as if the council chamber or city hall is on fire. Obviously, we're not going to shoot water in this building, but with a laser hose adapter, they can simulate that they have located the fire, put the fire out, and the machine recognizes it. That is $20,698. That comes with two monitors, the carrying case, the remote control, everything that you need for that simulation, except for a smoke fog machine, which we already own. So that would enhance training as well as for crews to work on safety techniques such as City Hall, put it around the fire station in the attic where they have to climb up in and find those fires that are hidden. The third item is a Tyler software, and we're asking $23,000. That includes travel expense for the company. The dispatch center already has two components out of three components that's needed. The third component interacts with the system and will automatically send it to my phone. There's an app that we pay for. Instead of dispatcher inputting the call, dispatching, going to a the Active 911 website, inputting the call again and sending it, it eliminates that process. As soon as they hit enter from the first data entry of the call to dispatch, it automatically goes to my phone. It goes to the crew's phone. That way, if we don't hear the address at 2 o'clock in the morning, oh, it's 112 Bauman is where we're going. Those are the three capital items that the fire department is asking for.
What was the name of that system? Tyler?
Tyler. T-Y-L-E-R. PD has already, dispatch already has two of the components that PD has paid for. Any questions?
Yes, but back to the fire truck. If you had to say the fire truck that we have now, what condition is it in?
I'm sorry, sir?
The fire truck that we have right now that you're wanting to replace, what condition is that fire truck in?
It's in operational condition. We can use it. We use it as a backup only. And fairly in, I mean, we've had to replace the one of the lines on the underneath the truck for the pump. It froze during the winter time. We've had to replace some engine parts on it. This Pierce actually has stopped making a lot of parts for that particular truck. Either they make parts work, or it's a hard to find older parts for that truck. We have a primary engine. This is our backup engine. So if the primary goes down for maintenance or we need to get it get it tested every year, we move to the backup truck. And it's usually used 1 or 2 days, and then it's put back in the back burner, started every day just to keep the batteries going.
Okay. Now, you're saying the cost of this new one is a little over $500,000, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you have that in your budget?
No, sir.
Or do you expect that in your budget?
I don't expect to get it approved this year, but eventually we're going to have to get it replaced.
Okay.
How much faith do you have in your backup truck?
I have faith enough to take it on a call right now.
And if the other truck is engaged, then you can implement that in the next bit, right?
I'm sorry?
If the primary truck is engaged, then you'll take this for the second, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But the parts are getting hard, right?
It doesn't need maintenance right now as far as the parts, but it's getting harder and harder to find the parts that are needed when stuff starts breaking down on it.
Thank you. From a historical standpoint, the primary truck that we have, we purchased it in 2014, right, and it was delivered at the end of 2015, so the year to build it,
right,
financed it for 10 years. So, you know, to put that into perspective is that we are still paying on the current truck. So we're in good shape there. So obviously, to buy a new one, you would end up having to finance that and
have a loan payment,
right? Correct. How much is that payment?
A lot.
It is a lot. You can buy a couple of Mercedes on time with it.
Monique, that fire truck we have now, the
48
one, is this, do we own it or is that a lease deal?
No, it's payment. Well, at least it was made payment. Yeah,
that's what I.
We got a pretty good interest rate, did we, on that one? Or no?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't bad. I don't know if you have to tell you what the current year. Each year, the lease payment
fluctuates slightly.
We have it separated in the budget for the primary payment and the interest payment. So the fire pump budgeted this year is $50,200 is our lease payment for this year. And the interest, we roll the interest in with another item that is $6,460. So we're paying about $56,000 this year.
On a lease?
On a lease. So we did 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. Yeah, so we got like 4 more years after this.
So what if we get a lease and you can hand it back?
No.
Oh.
We'll keep it.
That's how it's on.
Right.
It's about 9%, 9.5%.
We get a final payoff on it.
It's an even rate. So if we go after this new one, is it going to be done in the same manner?
Yes.
Most likely, yeah. Is there no way we can just write a check for $600,000 piece of equipment?
Right, right.
How much already we have on the current?
4 years. So that's just to keep in mind from a timing perspective, which, like you said, were mentioned, I don't know the dollar amount. We spent some money doing some repairs to the backup engine just so we could stay functional as a backup, because it was kind of sitting and they weren't doing anything with it. But now that it's, you can take it out on a call.
Yes.
We're doing that. So we do have the two engines, but I think just, realistically, that's not going to happen this year, but looking down the road, just to get to the end of paying off this current one would probably be the best time to
to build the truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the right. You think that truck can last 3 more years?
Yes, ma'am.
And then when we went at the end of that third year, then I think that we should look into a new lease. But when we enter that lease, we don't start paying for it until it's delivered, right?
Correct.
You can still pay your final amount, and then you roll right into
the next year.
That's the most likely.
So we should at 2025 for whatever ends in 2025 then. I just wonder how much more the truck.
Might cost $800.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Correct.
Yeah. Because it's not going to be cheaper, that's for sure. And it's not going to stay at this price. But the logic is not to make two payments. That's
right. That's what I
was getting at. Yeah. I mean, even at 9 or 10%, that's still, that'd be double again. Yeah. How about on the communications? What is it exactly? I see what you're telling us. I'm assuming it saves time and it completes the call that there's no dropping a call, I guess you would say, or
correct. There's no dropping of call.
Okay.
It just takes an extra step out of dispatch, and in the long look of the process, instead of just getting on the phone, we could eventually, in a couple of years, put computers in the apparatuses, in the ambulances, get the call information. When updates happen, say there's somebody that's unresponsive here at the City Hall, and now the caller has called back, caller has called second time, dispatcher puts those notes in the key card, it will automatically update in the system that's in the truck, and the crews will be able to read it in the 2 minute down the road that they'll be able to see things have changed. Now they're awake. Now they're not breathing, so forth.
And you said the city already has 2/3 of that?
Correct.
So it integrates completely?
Yes, sir.
Is that part of the patient care reporting you have on your slide?
No, ma'am. That's a different. That's not considered capital. I'm a little overachiever, so I prepared for the whole budget talk.
Hold on, better to be.
Not just capital.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, you're fine.
Proceed.
But tonight we're just going over the capital items request.
Well, we know the truck is a little bit out, but would this be the top of your wish list?
Yes.
That's what I need to know here. It seems to me that it'd be a much more efficient way to run things with that system.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That, and then the training simulator, just to enhance training, keep everybody training up and training instead of just standing in front of a computer training or going out and connecting a hydrant. This is a different avenue of training. We don't get to go out and do a lot of live burn training at the live burn house or, excuse me. So this kind of supplements some of that to where we still have a simulated live burning to where we can set it at the park, we can set it here, we can set it at any city building, and the crews can bunk up, maneuver in, blackout face shields to where they can't see other than the glow from the light. Now, like I said, in this particular building, we would not be using water. At the park, if we had simulated it in the restrooms there, we could flow water because the water would drain. I wouldn't mess up the council chambers with water when we have a laser that can simulate that it has attacked the fire and it has made contact. And
trick question. Communications or simulator, one or two?
I'm sorry?
Communications or simulator, one or two?
I would go simulator first because that's a training.
Right. That's it. Okay. All right. seems to make sense.
Chief, I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
This may not be the right time, but I've had a lot of citizens asking me this, and I just want your thought on it. What do you think, and I know a lot of cities, municipalities are doing it. They turn in their dispatch over to Bexar County. What is your thought on that?
There's pros and cons to it both. If we were to turn it over, they already have an integrated CAD system. We would just have to purchase the equipment to be able to use it. If we turn it over, it's no longer in-house. It's no longer our people knowing, able to talk directly, you know, out of window, wave high, get that interpersonal feeling. They're across town in off of 1604 over by Six Flags. That's where their house at.
Right.
So we lose some of that interpersonal contact that we have with our district.
So you're against it?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't want to know. Thank you.
I would tell you this too, Mike. It would, in dispatch, having been in the business and having our city, it's you got a dispatcher there that knows the streets.
Right. Yes.
And immediately, and it's not that they're not good, you know, but the, like he says, it, we know what's going on.
Well,
and they're directly
I was thinking more of a financial.
Well, I've seen some of those contracts after like 2 years, double almost.
Okay, let's get back on track, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Don't yell at me.
Any other questions for me?
Good.
All right, thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council Members. I'd like to talk to you first about the Parks Department. One of the things that is in some need of repair, some need of financial assistance, would be your swimming pool. It has, I don't know if you guys all have the paper, correct? Okay. The second thing would be the Friendship Park restrooms. It needs a new roof. The inside needs to be painted. And then lastly would be the parking areas in front of the pavilion there at Friendship Park, as well as the entrance into Friendship Park. So those all need assistance. And you have been provided with all the numbers that we've accumulated thus far for projected costs.
Can you explain a little bit more detail about the pool?
Okay.
The water
okay. Thank you, ma'am. The swimming pool is in need of replastering because the pool itself has many cracks, and because of the cracks are there, it costs us additional money spent unnecessarily, in my opinion, to replenish the water. We're putting in several hundred gallons of additional water every day due to just the leaks in the plaster. It needs to be repainted, and not only do we spend additional funds in water, we're also spending additional funds in chlorine because we're having to chlorinate the water a whole lot more than what we would if the water maintained a more constant level, without having to constantly be putting in water every day. And that cost is projected to cost $110,000. Part of the other problem that we're experiencing with the pools are the, we just replaced both the pumps for the kiddie pool and the large pool, and they are currently experiencing some air infiltration into the suction side of the pumps, and it damages the pumps by doing that. So part of this is going to look into seeing if we can repair that as well. So our pumps and motors should last longer. So then the next thing down would be the Friendship Park, the restrooms. The roof, I'm guessing, is probably 20 years old. This last year, during the winter event, we had many shingles that came off due to the high winds as well as the cold temperature. Currently, we have several that are off, shingles that are missing right now. The roof is so brittle that I can't even get shingles up underneath there just to try and patch it the best we can. So it's not effective to continue with that roof. So we do need to replace the roof. Yes, ma'am.
With the winter storm that we just had and we've gotten a lot of hail, wouldn't that be an insurance issue?
I didn't see any hail damage, ma'am. And as far as the winter weather, all that does is contribute to the overall fatigue of the shingles themselves. Like I say, to me, it appears as though they're about 20 years old. They may be only about 15, but they look like they're 20. They're extremely brittle, and asphalt shingles should not ever be brittle. That happens because you get such high amount of heat in there, and it dries up the asphalt, dries out the oil that's in the asphalt shingle itself, so it becomes very brittle.
And how old did you say
that was? I'm guessing, ma'am. I don't know. I wasn't here when it was installed. But just based on what I see with respect to the shingles themselves that have come off, I'm guessing 15 to 20 years old.
Well, what I'm thinking is, my home is 50 some odd years old.
Yes, ma'am.
And I know that I've had hail damage on my roof because I've had my roof replaced.
Yes, ma'am.
So I would almost guarantee that roof has hail damage. Can we get the insurance on here to look at it to see?
We can. I mean, they took care of the other issues that were related to the winter storm. They came out and assessed those, and we got that covered.
No, ma'am, they did not. I did not request that. In my opinion, it
is that claim already closed?
Well, it doesn't mean you can't generate another one if that's what we want.
You can also what's it going to hurt just to get them to come out here and check?
Yeah.
If they approve it, then, you know, it's better for us.
But the thing is, every time you open up a claim, it's a ping against you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and I'm sure nobody knows here, but we ever had a claim on it in the last 20 years. We've gotten a lot of hail over the last 20 years.
Well, here's I see where Mike's going, though. They prorate things, too.
Yeah.
And they're going to look at the last, and they will. They will go to the last hailstorm, however many years ago, and start prorating from there. Because I've had mine replaced, in 40 years, three times.
I got a bid for the roof. It was $1,800.
Yeah. $1,800 is okay. That's better than a ding on the insurance.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of a claim for that.
I agree with
that. Okay. The next thing would be the painting of the restrooms, the ceilings as well as the walls and the floors. The reason I want to paint the floors, or I would suggest the floors are painted, is so that it will seal the concrete that's there. Some of it has already been painted and some of it's coming off already. So what that does is that assists in the overall cleanliness of the facility. It also assists in the, how do I say this, not holding the odor in, no odor retention.
You know, the less porosity you have, the less
yes.
you have an odor.
Yes. So what ends up on the floor.
Yes, we understand, sir.
Thank you, sir.
But I will tell you this, what also happens, having been in the business, is a lot of times they don't acid treat a floor before they paint it. And so now what is the alkaline is coming up and is pushing the oldest. If there's two or three coats, you're going to see it's the bottom coat of paint that's releasing. Because
yes, sir.
The fact that the alkaline is coming up and taking it away. So probably if that's going to happen, then I would almost want to go in there and take all of the paint up, and that way you don't stack another coat on top of one that the bottom coat could turn loose.
Yes, sir.
Just a thought.
The next thing on that slide would be the entrance driveway to the first pavilion there in Friendship Park, which is the restrooms. So that portion of the driveway is the very first one. The second exhibit would be a portion of that parking lot there between the baseball diamond and the Friendship Park, which would be closest to the baseball diamond. The third exhibit, Exhibit C, would encompass all of the parking lot and the whole thing. And so then when you add all of that together is when you get the total amount for the Friendship Park for the asphalt repaving and milling of that.
You jump back all everything there right around the one the baseball field, all the way around to the edge towards the playground equipment. Would that be right?
That would be the whole parking lot. Just the small portion of it, it encompasses from the baseball field approximately 30 feet out towards the playground, sir.
I just want to shatter the neighbors. You get a lot of traffic there from the softball people in that area. And they park along the road there behind that one dugout.
Oh, that was not included. Only
I
the.
I know what.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I understand. I'm just making it just a. You know, because that field gets a lot of use, and that parking lot gets a lot of use.
Yes, sir.
You know, so yeah, makes sense.
And there are photographs that have Exhibit A, B, and C. And that shows you what your finished grades are for A, B, and C, and the costs that are associated with each portion of the bid. Yes, ma'am, I thought I did.
Yeah,
if I did not, I'd be happy to clarify.
I got where he's talking about. Is this quote from Hayden, is that related to this?
No, okay. That's something else having to do with streets.
When you start talking about, wait.
Yes, sir, no, that's having to do with
that's
streets.
The streets.
The three photographs that you're seeing are the entire parking lot
right
there. The other photograph is just that small strip behind the baseball field.
Correct.
And then on that same photograph, which we exhibit B, you can also see a part of the entrance road
yes
there that is also highlighted red.
Right.
And the reason that I included the entire parking lot there is because if you will notice, or if you've been out there recently, where it's damaged the most is closest to the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you look more towards the north, closer to the pavilion, you'll see where that asphalt is also damaged and beginning to crack up. And what, in my opinion, is occurring is we're getting a lot of water intrusion at that point, and it is rolling down towards the restrooms and towards the baseball field, which if I were to just patch just that small portion there, which is indicated in a small red band, the rest of the parking lot would drain into that underneath the asphalt and would eventually, sooner than what it should, have its demise. So it wouldn't last as long as what you would want it to last. So that was why it was recommended that the whole parking lot be done.
So you would just raise the crown on that particular point, and the drop would be more, so yeah. You would want an even drop from center to edge.
Yes, sir.
No.
Okay, so streets are the next thing, and today I'm only going to be presenting for the parks and the streets. So under the streets department, we're requesting the Crest Bridge, which is over the drainage ditch, which is bound by Gordon Cooper and Swan, if I recall correctly. And I'm asking for the engineering money. And what that's going to do for you is that is going to tell you what exactly is wrong with the bridge. and it's going to tell you its projected cost and its remedies. They have given us a price for what they believe, based on the information that I gave to them, what the projected cost to repair that bridge is going to be, including the asphalt and other work that is accompanied to that. Because it's not just the bridge itself, it's also the approach leading to the bridge, as well as some of the handrails. And I also have furnished photographs in there as well. And as you can see, we have a couple 3 inches wide cracks in the sidewalks, and you're seeing some holes in the asphalt near the gutter. And also, there's another photograph right in the middle of the road where you can see a large failure, and that's in the middle of the bridge. And that's allowing, once again, water to intrude and deteriorate the bridge even more. So you can see by those photographs where the bridge itself appears to be separating from the approaches. To what extent the damage is, I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I cannot tell you how deep the damage goes below the grade, how far into the subgrade it goes. I don't know that. That would take an engineer to come out and give us a proper assessment. So that's that for the Crest Bridge. If there's no questions, I'll push on. Okay. The next one would be the bid from Mr. Hayden, and that is a request for the intersection of Old Seguin, Ackerman, and the other road. I'm sorry.
Gibbs Sprawl.
Yes, I apologize. So that's what that encompasses, only that intersection.
Okay, east-west, north-south, how far? Well, we're going to do Ackerman, so the north-south.
Ackerman is going to go right up to the beginning of Old Seguin.
Right.
And then when it carries over to the beginning of Gibbs Sprawl.
Right.
Is all that encompasses. And I can't remember.
West.
I'm sorry, sir?
East-west.
East-west, not quite as far as the bus stop to the east, and not quite as far as Bauman to the west.
Bauman.
But almost, if you'll look, there's been a small patch right next to the bus stop on the south side of Old Seguin, right there by Bauman. And so that would be the end at that point. And then when you're looking east, it is, like I say, not quite to that bus stop. There's another seam at that point where somebody else had done another patch.
Okay.
Okay, so if there's no other questions, we can move on. Yes, ma'am. Now, the next thing would be this next year for the street assessment program. We're going to continue with that. We have been continuing with it. We did phase 8 of the Baines-Mingelman project, which consisted of going east of the bridge to the city limits. That was completed under your street assessment program, where you all have assessed taxes just specifically for the street. So that portion of that project was completed just using those funds, nothing else. Okay, so to continue on, I'm asking to be able to use the CIP money for this upcoming year for the remainder or some more of the fiscal year 2020 and 2021 street assessment program under your proposed maintenance with M&S. And that would be Feather Rock Drive and French C.
Part, and we also did the floor seal of most of the streets that are listed here. So what we need to do for next year is do that tax, that about $70,000, we may come up a little bit more this year for something else. And so if we continue to work down this plan, the next three are Fox Cross and Feather Rock, because we've already applied for CDBG for Alan Shepard. We're hoping to get that. But again, looking at the cost estimates, that is deep $70,000. So we would need to decide if we're going to add a little bit more to be able to take care of these three, or do you only want to do one of them? Like Feather Rock is a little bit cheaper, so we need to just keep that in mind.
So how old is that street assessment list?
For 2019.
I think it needs to be looked at again. Because this street right here is Zalman. The next street over, I forgive me,
Janky.
That street is undrivable. Undrivable. I don't care if you're in a car or if you're in a truck. It is undrivable.
Yeah, it's probably a whole lot worse than these two we're talking about right now.
It really is. And, you know, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for the residents that live around City Hall because these streets are nasty.
So part of the bond project for Athens is going to cover Kedwick from this draw here to the corner of City Hall, and Wallen from Olsenine to the corner of Kedwick. That's part of the bond for Athens. So that's already going to be addressed to drainage in the street there. But you're right, going on the other side, that's not included.
Well, I think
Janky
needs to move up to number one.
Well, I would say
I think that they rated it wrong.
I do too. I mean, it just doesn't make sense because it's been like that forever.
Yeah. Either that or they didn't look at it.
I thought about my little car.
Well, we could always get a horse girl going.
You wouldn't register it.
Nope.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, in that way.
But she's correct. Let's see if we can make a change to that.
Well, the thing is, we can pick a street.
The plan is finished. You know, we pay the engineers.
Right.
Right. Well, there's an exception to everything.
Yeah. Right. That is the worst street in town.
It is horrible. I mean, there's two ways about it.
Okay. So you're asking us to
yes. Look at that? Yeah, let's look at that street. Because, like I said, we need to make exceptions sometimes. Sometimes things just get out of hand, and that street's going nowhere. I mean, it's just worse.
Did our engineering plan firm rate that road?
Yeah, it did everything we could
do. I don't know how they did it, Joe.
And I don't know how they got that wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how they written that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council Members. Appreciate
thank
your time
you,
this
thank
evening.
You,
thank you.
And the pledge. Thank you, Lord, for getting us, for getting everybody here safely to this meeting tonight. Please be with us during these proceedings. Please watch over our citizens, city staff, our police, and our fire department. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Abinaca?
Here.
Councilmember Gallagher?
Here.
Councilmember Driver?
Here.
Councilmember Street? He did make us aware that we're not being attended tonight. Councilmember Martin?
Here.
Mayor Aldridge?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Open up 5 citizen participation. We have several signed up to speak. First to speak is Christopher Garza.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Christopher Garza. I live at 4807 Mike Collins. What I wanted to talk to you guys today about is in order to ensure that the majority of citizens get all the information that they can possibly get, I think the best option for that would be to tape the meetings and put them on some type of YouTube or something where they can actually come and watch all the meetings. This should be something that I truly believe should be done by the city, and I think that it would really help with citizens being well informed about everything going on, and I do mean everything, for all the meetings that happen here at City Hall. It's something that that we want to encourage is citizens to participate. We want them to know what is being brought to council, and some of these meetings that come up to council, it's good to know the discussions that happen prior to even coming up to council. So I really do believe that it would be something great if we could invest in a small camera or something else where the city would actually be in charge of recording all meetings here in City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you. Next Aubrey Brown.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council, for letting me speak. I am a disabled person. I get the same check that someone 65 or older gets. And according to ADA law, I should get the same benefits. However, the city does not allow me the $15,000 exempt on my taxes. Therefore, we're not ADA compliant. And I'm asking the city to become more ADA compliant in making sure that 65 and or disabled receive the same benefit under the law. Secondly, as I said, I'm a disabled person, and I had to have my sewer line replaced, and it was all the city's fault, and they had to trench all the way to the main on the city side. They have not paved that, and on my worst days, I have to use a motorized wheelchair. And many times the bus gets me there, and I get stuck in that rut. And I've talked to Mike, tell him blue in the face, and it gets nowhere. The other thing are two major arteries within the city. One is Swan, which is the back entrance for the city of Kirby. If you go down that thing, it's like a roller coaster. And at the end, it's a deadly fall. Same issue with Borchers. Borchers, I drove up there and I hit a hole that I thought George Washington was buried in. And these are major arteries into our city. Why aren't we taking care of them? Where is our tax dollars going other than employees? So the thing that I wanted to speak about was the taxes. And I really think that the board needs to be more ADA compliant. But the streets were secondary. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Tony, can we look into that sewer paving issue? Next up is Travion Willis.
Hi, hello. Thank you so much for allowing me to come here and speak. I'm pretty much wanting the implementation of a stop sign at the corner of Telegraph and Swan. There used to be one, but due to the construction going on Ben Zingelman, because Ben Zingelman and Swan, those are the only two lanes in Kirby that meet Springfield. that line, that road that you can go down into the, that road that you can go down onto the trailer park sign. So they removed the stop sign on the corner of Telegraph and Swan to increase the flow of traffic, you know, things go down there smoothly. But since that road has been fixed, that stop sign has since, well, has not came back. So there's a lot of cars that speed down there, which, to their surprise, a little bit further down is a really, it's like he was saying, a really, really bad drop, and they're definitely going to mess their car up. But, yeah, it's mostly just if something could be done about that stop sign being fit back there, mm-hmm. To, I guess, you know, increase the safety of everybody around that area, and also to cause prevent you guys from having some trouble. That would also be great, too. But, yeah, thank you so much. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, Mr. Willis.
Yes, ma'am.
Next to speak is Alan Force.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm Alan Force. I'm military retired from Fort Sam. I lived on Borcher Street for over 40 years. I've seen a lot of changes, but one thing that hasn't changed is that Borchers and Benz Engelman are the two through streets that go from basically Big Red over to Ackerman. I talked to the former police chief about 5 years ago to see if we could go to put a stop sign or something on the corner of Telegraph and Borchers. The problem is that, as they just explained, Deer Creek is a street that runs, I guess, north and south.
Right.
I mean, Deer Grove.
Yes.
That road from Borchers, from there all the way to Ackerman, is a straight shot, and we've got UPS. Well, it's a major through street. There are people that are using it like it's a highway. The police chief said he'd put a camera and they would check to see about people speeding through there. Once my wife and I retired 20 years ago, we've become very aware of how fast everybody drives through Borchers, especially from Telegraph up to Crest. It's mostly young families that are in that other area that isn't actually Kirby. It's the area that has kind of been annexed and is part of the city. My wife had put a sign, a professional sign out front that said, "Drive as if your children live here." No effect. The police chief said, in his opinion, signs don't work. I have a question and then a comment on regarding the construction that's imminent on Borchers. I know it's in the planning stage. I'd like to know what the scope of that plan is. And my suggestion is, my wife would like to have a stop sign at the corner of Telegraph and Borchers, which I don't think will help. What I would rather see is right there where there's a natural ditch, put in a speed hump. You cannot avoid a speed hump. You can ignore a stop sign 24/7. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next to speak is Julie Hinojosa.
Hi, good evening, City Council. My name is Julie Hinojosa, and I am here on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Committee. I serve on the committee and have been a member for about 2 years now. And an item that's come up in our committee, and we wanted to make City Council aware during this budget season, that we'd like to request a budget provision for the inclusion of professional services related to urban planning to assist the committee and City Council in designating a mixed-use zoning ordinance for properties that have been zoned commercial but continue to have residential market demand. In addition, there are other areas of Kirby that have undeveloped plots that could be designated mixed use so as to attract office, retail, and residential uses in more common areas that are associated with commercial uses. And that's all I've got to say about that. And unfortunately, Mr. McBee couldn't be here, so I'm just here on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Committee. Okay?
Thank you, Julie.
Got it. Thank you.
Next to speak is Willie Mae Clay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council and citizens of Kirby. I'm here to speak on two items. One, I'd like to have an accessible platform placed to accompany an existing bus stop at Charles Conrad and Old Seguin going out of Kirby. The bus stop was replaced, I think, in 2019, but no accessible platform. That needs to go back. And lastly, I'd like to suggest that the city create what I would call an act of kindness award to identify those persons in Kirby who were considerate of their neighbors. As we know, we had a severe winter this year in February, and I was one of the recipients of Kind Neighbors, and so I want to suggest that Act of Kindness Award be established. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Clay. Now I will open up consideration of and action of minutes.
Mayor, make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
The meeting, I can't remember the date, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, May 15th. So sorry.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Second.
And seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to approve the special meeting minutes of May 15th, 2021. Can we do this together?
Yes. Also, would like to conclude the regular meeting on May 20th. Amend to include the regular meeting of May the 20th, 2021 minutes.
An amended motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to amend and accept the special meeting minutes of May 15th of 2021 and the regular meeting minutes of May 20 of 21, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca. Raise your right hand. Everybody for, raise your right hand. Minutes approved. We will move to 7A, quarterly investment report for period ending March 31st, 2021. Okay. All right. And 7B, quarterly financial reports for reporting period ending March 31st of 2021.
I make the motion that we accept the quarterly investment report for the period ending March 31st, 2021, and the quarterly financial report for the period ending March 31st, 2021.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the quarterly investment reporting reports for reporting March 31st of 2021.
and financial report for period ending March 31st, 2021, seconded by Councilmember Salazar. Patty, do you call roll on this one? City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. We will now move to 8 presentations. A, Fire Chief Badge Pinning. Where's our chief?
He changed shirts. Why not? We're going to treat you like a Marine. Slap that sucker on there.
Thank you.
Chief, I'm lazy. You're a good man. No, if anybody deserved this, Chief, you do. You've been a good person to this team. You've given us good service, and I have all the confidence in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to serve. I grew up in a small town. I volunteered with the Wilson County EMS back, 20-some-odd years ago. I believe in the small town feel, the small town atmosphere, that you work out for your neighbors and you do what you can. I will always do what I can for the citizens of Kirby. They make my guys, they know. Senior Center on Saturday will be out checking blood pressure and passing out masks. So, I'm dedicated to the city.
There you go. Yes, you are.
MBVA.
Well, good evening, Mayor and Council members. That's a hard act to follow. So, good evening. We are. My name is Alicia Worth, and I'm from MBVA. We are the firm that does your collections for your outstanding utility bills. This is Catherine Torrance. She visits the city of Kirby, makes sure that your staff is taken care of, helps with anything they need. We're just here to kind of give you guys an insight of what we do and how we are helping the city of Kirby, and also just what we're doing for your citizens. So first off, we do collections for your utility bills. When there are 61 days past due, your staff sends them over to us. We verify that the data is good, and then we start by sending out a validation notice to your citizens, just letting them know their rights, that they have the option to dispute it. They can do a bunch of different things. That starts the collection process. Once that's completed, we make phone calls, we send out letters, and just trying to get overdue utility bills paid. We do not report to credit. And we also don't file any suit or anything. We are just simply doing the best we can with what we have, and that's the phone calls and the letters to try to get your citizens to pay outstanding utility debts. A lot of times, they're not even your citizens. A lot of times, they have moved somewhere else, and we just want the city to get what's owed to them. The cost of our services is 20%, and that's what we went into contract with in March of 2019. And so that's kind of a general overview of what we do for the utility department here in Kirby. Another thing we want to talk about is just where you guys are at and the collection rates that you guys are hitting. About after 18, 19 months of us being your utility collection company, you guys have given us 850 accounts. 340 of those we do have to close out once they reach 4 years old. The law says that a collection firm cannot collect on accounts older than 4 years. So what we do is we return those to the city. The city can continue to use our, we've sent out letters in the past, so they get them back. They can still keep them open and receive payment if someone comes in. MBBA just can't do that for you after 4 years. So 340 of those KSCs have been returned to the city. We have 64 accounts that have been paid in full, which is about 7% of the accounts that we are working, which equals about $8,200. Total accounts resolved. The first number was just the accounts paid in full. The second number that I'm about to give you is the total resolution, meaning that if someone has disputed it, it's been closed for whatever reason except for payment, it's about 10%. I was telling the staff earlier that I'm super impressed with these numbers. They are anything over 5% after an 18-month contract for utilities is very impressive. So your guys' numbers are looking great, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys are aware of who we are and if you had any questions or comments or concerns.
So it's 10% out of the 850 accounts, right?
10% is, yes, out of the 850.
How do you go about tracking them down once they leave?
So we have two forms of skip tracing. So we have what I call my human skip tracers, which is my team of people that are manually skip tracing. We have three different databases that we use to look for good phone numbers and good phone numbers and addresses. Okay, so then we update those accounts. Then we also have what's called electronic skip tracing, where on a monthly basis we take our accounts and send them up to a different database, and they electronically look for say someone got utility in a different city. Well, the other address is in that city, so that's where they pick from electronically. We find that human skip tracers sometimes work better than the electronic ones, so that's why we have a team of about five that are constantly skip tracing accounts. So that's how we track them down.
And it's not reported to, you said, just to make confirm, you said it's not reported to the credit? Is that in the contract, or what's the reason for that?
No, so reporting to, that's just not something we've ever done, is report to credit. It becomes, we would have to almost double our staff just because of the number of disputes. You just enter a whole new ballgame when it comes to reporting to credit, and we find it to be more against our practices than for it. We believe that we can get them to pay without having to do that. And that's just the stance that MBBA has always taken.
I got a question for you, Monique. What process do we use to verify that another household member is not putting the water in their name?
That happens. That comes up. So when they come in, you have to provide proof. You know, so for example, let's say someone's account went delinquent and we've already sent them over to collection. And then a month or so later, a new person comes in and wants to sell service. They have to provide that proof. They have to have a lease agreement, ID, that information. Our staff is really good. The fact that our supervisor in that area has been here for so long, she knows a lot of these folks' names. So when that gets triggered, we make sure we'll negotiate with them. You have to pay this old account, or we will not open up a new account. So it's not on a case by case.
I know a lot of people do try to do that.
Oh, they try it. I mean, we had one where, you know, three, four different relatives would come in. Y'all know Miss Tracy at the front. She's not happy.
Anybody have any other questions for these ladies? Our ladies, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you do for us.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good evening.
Good evening.
We will now move on to 8C, City Employee Insurance and Supplemental Benefits. Marcia Wortham.
Council, administration, my name is Jenny Half, and I'm with Marsh Wortham, and I have Robin Green with me today. She's my partner, and we're here to, first of all, thank you, because we have been your broker of record for your insurance for 19 years. So next year we'll be celebrating our 20-year anniversary. In front of you, I thought this would make it easier just from multiple years of being here, and I did a little placemat for you. If you'll start on the side with the three pictures, and I'm going to just walk you through a little bit about what our services that we provide are to the city and all of your employees. So the first thing you'll see up in the left-hand corner is our team. Again, Robin and I are here today, and we also have Ashley, who's customer service, who's available for all of your employees when they have claims, issues, or questions. Both Robin and I have been in the insurance business for 26 years. I've actually been with the same firm for 26 years. Now, we've had name changes. It used to be Eichlitz, Dennis, Ray, and Westheimer. Then it was Wortham, and now we're Marsh. But I have been at the same place for all those years. If you look to follow this placemat, if you will, to the right of that, You'll see what we do for you on an annual bid timeline and sample posting. So part of our service is every year we send over to Tina, which is coming up in the next couple of weeks, we just send her the language that she can post out to in the Herald that just says we're opening up the opportunity for anybody to give a bid. So our agency as brokers with Marsh Wortham, we represent all the carriers out there. So we have relationships with the Aetnas and United and Blue Cross and all of the medical carriers and all the ancillary carriers. So we usually, you know, when we're shopping your coverages every year, we're going out to all of those markets. There's been a couple times that since I've been working for the city where we have received some, you know, different bids that were carriers that I haven't seen before or heard of or whatever. And so Monique and I and Tina will open those bids on the due date, and we'll look at them and review them and decide if they're the best for the city. And we've done that in the past. So we're open to other proposals coming in. We certainly review those when they do. On the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see this is just for my new folks here. If you look at this, it's just the past 5 years. So it's a little history of what's happening. And part of my job is to make sure I get the best benefits available for the best premiums. And we're looking from an employer standpoint, the city cost and the employees and their dependents. So we analyze all of that, and so you can see a brief history here. Even in 2018, we negotiated a rate pass, and as recent as last year, we negotiated a rate pass as well, which means everybody gets the exact same rates and the same plan for another year, which those are the years we all say hallelujah and we all celebrate. And there's other years that aren't so great, and then that's when we take it out to bid and make sure we can get another carrier to quote, and then we negotiate, and that's part of our strategy as well. The loss ratio is important. The loss ratio you see there is a percentage just for, you know, what that means is they take all of your premiums and all of your claims and they compare them to each other. So, for example, your loss ratio, let's say in 2019, was 131%. That means for every dollar that you paid in premium, that the city paid in premium, the carrier, which at the time is Blue Cross Blue Shield, paid $1.31 in claims. So they lost money, right? So, and as far as we're concerned, we don't care if the carriers lose money because we just want to make sure that you guys have excellent health care. The loss ratio makes it difficult when we're out shopping, right? Because they're looking at all of your claims experience, and we dig deeper into that. We look at the large claimants and all of those types of things. So loss ratio matters. And so I just thought you'd like to see a little education on kind of what the last 5 years have looked like. And then if you look to the right of that, it's just an explanation about who we are. And really, we're local. We're over off bidders in 281 on Interpark. And so we're very close, and so we oftentimes are able to see the city, and if employees need us, we're here for them. If you flip over your placemat, on the top left-hand corner, you will see that this is your current medical plan with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I think Tina distributed out to you all the employee guide, which has the rest of the benefits, which you guys can peruse. That is what we produce those and distribute those to all your new hires and, of course, during open enrollment as well. That's just part of our services. This is the medical plan just because that's the big ticket item, obviously. And so we just listed that there for the new folks. If you look to the right of that, you'll see our services. So this is just I can dive deep into this, and you may have questions, but you can quickly see that we're shopping and consulting and negotiating on your behalf. That's your account management. From an employee engagement standpoint, that's our passion, too, is because we believe that all of your employees need to be educated on how the plan works and what they can do to save money. And so we do the booklets, and then we're also out with your employees during open enrollment meetings, and we're talking to them every year. Except for in 2020, of course, we had the Zoom open enrollment meeting, which nobody was fans of, but we did that. That's the only thing we could do, and we're hopefully not having to do that this year. We'll be out again with your folks in August or September. Human resources support, we help Tina and stay very close to her in regards to things that are administrative and billing issues and terminations and additions of new employees. One thing we provide to you all is the Employee Navigator System. It's a benefit administration system, which is how your employees enroll online every year, and new hires do too. And it makes it easy for them to go through and pick their benefits for the year. That is free of charge to you all. We give that to our clients. And we also help Tina with that if she has any changes. And then, of course, your data analytics, which is the benchmarking. We have, in past years, given you benchmark on employer contribution by cities and things of that nature. We're happy to do that for you. Wellness, we could talk about for hours. You all have preventive exam incentive for your employees, which you're going to start again in 2021. You didn't do it last year. Starting it again in 2021, which is good. And then we also advocate all of the free services you get from Blue Cross Blue Shield, their wellness program that you get as part of your premium. We help your employees understand that. And then lastly is compliance. That's the key because, as you all know, in employee benefits, things are changing all the time. We keep all of you guys and all of our clients up to speed on all of the compliance issues. You get letters. You have emails if things are happening quickly. We do all kinds of webinars, and I know that you all have participated in that. And finally, at the bottom, as we prepare, believe it or not, I'll be back here in another couple months, hopefully, and we will be talking about your renewal. We usually come out in the city council meeting that's in August, and we'll be discussing what your options are for the year. And so this is an interesting piece. This is your claims experience to date. So, or through March of 2021. There's always a couple-month lag in claims. But what's interesting about this is you're running really, really well, with the exception of the spike we saw in October of 2020. Your loss ratio looks really good. But I will tell you that most people's loss ratio looks really, really good for 2020 because none of us went to the doctor. So it's a little skewed, but we weren't able to go get any of our elective surgeries or things that we typically do or preventive exams done. So we're going to see, I'm sure, in 2021, a big influx of claims, and which is good. People need to go get things taken care of. So, but Robin and I will be managing that and watching it for you closely, making sure we put all of your group out to bid to the market and make sure we get competitive bids. And that's been our job for 19 years, and we appreciate it very much that you've given us that opportunity. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Not until we get to the harvest.
I know. You guys will get me in another couple months, so.
We'll be waiting.
Oh, no.
You've done good now. Just wait.
I know. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
We want the cost.
At this time, I'm going to close this portion of the meeting at 7:47 to move to Executive Session 10A, update discussion of possible action on Springfield Road property and possible executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. Meeting back to order at 8:03. During the executive session, no action was taken. I will now open up 11A, update discussion and possible action on Springfield Road properties. I will open discussion and entertain a motion all at the same time.
Mayor, I make a motion to authorize the city manager to negotiate and settle cause number 2020-CV-0.
3896 on items on terms and conditions acceptable to the city manager.
We have a motion to accept the Springfield Road properties motion, and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant. City Secretary, call roll.
Councilmember Aldabaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Balazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. Now we will move back to 9A. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2021-896, a request for a specific use permit for the property located at CD-4018G, Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 4, otherwise known as 1440 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial L1, to be used for the following purpose: construction offices and warehouses to rent to different trades. This is the first reading. I will entertain a motion.
Yeah, Mayor, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and accept ordinance number 02021-896, a request for a specific use permit for the property located at CB 4018G Springfield Industrial Park, Lot Number 4, otherwise known as 1440 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas, which is zoned light industry, to be used for the following purpose: construction offices and warehouses to be rented to different trades.
A second.
We have a motion to accept and seconded by Councilmember Martin to accept the request for specific use permit. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Zalazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldabaca?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. We will now open 9B. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2021-897, a request for a specific use permit to allow the placement of two portable storage buildings and construction of a shop constructed of metal and a storage coverage enclosed on three sides of the property located at CB 5092-P-41 ABS 134, otherwise known as 3000 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned light industrial district L1. This is the first reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept ordinance number O-2021-897. It's a request for a specific use permit to allow the placement of two portable storage buildings and construction of a shop constructed of metal and a storage cover enclosed on three sides of the property located at CB 5092-P-41 ABS 134, otherwise known as 3000 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas 78219.
Second.
We have a motion to accept and a second by Councilmember Grider to accept the specific use permit at 3000 Ackerman Road. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Aldabaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Grider?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Mayor
Aldridge?
Yes.
We will now move to 9C, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2021-895, an ordinance
2020-2021 municipal budget of the City of Kirby. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept ordinance number 0-2021-895, an ordinance amending the 2020-2021 municipal budget of the City of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion to accept and seconded by Mayor, a motion to accept by Councilmember Apodaca and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept the amended budget for 2020 to 2021 municipal budget for the City of Kirby. City Secretary, please call the roll. Motion to accept by Councilmember Apodaca, seconded by Mayor. Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept the revision.
Okay. That's fine. I just wanted the word revision put out there. We're good.
Okay, revision. City Secretary, please call roll.
Or easy.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge? Yes. Now moving to 9D, discussion and possible action on appointing up to 4 alternate members to the Building and Standards Commission. We don't have any? Okay. 9E, discussion and possible action on appointment of a member to the Beautification and Recycling Committee. Okay. 9F, update and discussion of the City of Kirby Drainage Assessment.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Abraham. I'm with Gilead Engineering, and I'm here today to give you an update on the master drainage plan that we've been working on for the past few months. So it's clear that there's some problems with the existing drainage system, such as standing water not draining properly, breeding mosquitoes, flooding certain streets, and interrupted access make it difficult for the Public Works Department to access some of these areas that they need to maintain. So we're going to be studying the overall drainage system to identify the drainage issues, as well as plan for future development and to try and prevent future drainage needs to the system. The city has an extensive system comprised of 40 miles of surface street drainage, 8 miles of ditches and creeks, 0.4 miles of storm drains, 30 storm drain inlets, and 13 bridges and culverts. Our study approach process includes inspecting the drainage conditions of the system, evaluating the drainage system, and measuring the drainage structures and features, surveying some of those, calculating the runoff discharges, and documenting those that information, calculating the hydraulic capacity and mapping the drainage structures. Our goals and objectives for the master drainage plan is to address the issues that we've identified. So far, we have 24 drainage problem areas that we've identified. We'll be classifying those drainage issues based off the impacts to the public or residents or the city. And we'll also be developing concepts for the proposed repairs
and develop engineering opinions of the cost for the proposed repairs and improvements. Some of those problems can be fixed easily with grading or putting in larger structures for the system. This is a profile view of the drainage ditch behind off of Fox Cross and Shamrock. The blue line is the bottom of the channel. The red line is the top of the channel, the ground, and that high peak is the roadway. And there's two culverts that go underneath that roadway, and you can see that the red line is a lot higher towards the bottom on the right-hand side. So that's what's causing the flooding on Fox Cross and, you know, causing the water to not drain properly and just stand there breeding mosquitoes. Our next steps are to consolidate all the information that we've found and submit a preliminary master drainage report to the city. We hope to have that by August 4th, 2001. We'll give that to the city for review and comment, and then we will issue the finalized master drainage plan 2 months. We're shooting for November 4th. That's all I have. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, let's take them.
Any questions for Abraham?
A question, so when they said November 4th, when we would get the assessment back from them, so we won't be able, we would already start the next fiscal year budget, right? So this one wouldn't even be a contender.
We'll develop a cost analysis for the proposed improvements. This scope of work, this project doesn't include the extra design work for the proposed improvements. So that would be separate.
So you'll tell us cost estimates for the improvements at the conclusion of the year, but no improvements
are built
into that.
Then
we'll have to
correct.
Go back, I guess,
to
calculate
the
cost and evaluate.
If we had to do this in stages, when you give us your presentation, could you do it to the most needed immediately, like for instance the Borchers where it dead ends, and then as you would go down the scale, so for the most important to, I guess you would say the least, but I know that we have got to control that flooding over there. That, to me, I used to live in that area and I know how bad it is. So if you could maybe think about putting a scale to the most down to the least.
Absolutely. We've created a list already that has all the drainage issues identified, and we've prioritized them from high to low.
Thank you. That's it.
All right, Abraham, thank you very much for your time this evening. Next is 9G, discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby website proposal. I know this was brought up by Council Member Street. I would kind of like for her to be here. I would like to entertain a motion to table this item for when Council Member Street is back.
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion to table 9G by Council Member Martin and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant. City Secretary, please call roll.
Council Member Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Council Member Abinaka?
Yes.
Councilmember
Salazar? Yes.
Councilmember Dreyer?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes.
Engineering Services.
Turn it over to Monique.
I know Councilman Salazar asked to keep this on the agenda the last time. One of the things we wanted to talk about is kind of make sure where we are. So we know that for many years, I think it was from like 1989 to 2019, we were in one engineering of our engineer president. We switched to MNF engineering in March of 2019, and Mr. Mott is here. He's over there. He gets the questions for MNF, but I know we've had some concerns expressed about some of the projects that have been behind schedule. And so I know in the past, you know, we need to look at doing a new request for proposals to go out for engineering services if that's something that council wants to do, or we are comfortable continuing on. I know we've had different circumstances as to why some of the projects have been behind. But I know we've been getting a lot of heat from that, and it's been beyond, you know, staff control on a lot of these projects. So we want to give feedback, you know, from the rest of the council to how you'd like to proceed. We have projects that are already contracted out, but we won't change. You know, right. We're just working on projects.
I would like to see it go out for bids.
Me too.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of slack from the citizens, and I was probably one of them before I came up here about the streets and stuff until I understood more of what takes the city, you know, to get these streets planned. But when I noted that, you know, our engineering firm, who's supposed to be assisting us in moving these plans forward, the last time they met with us, they had no answers for us whatsoever, none whatsoever, and they were already behind.
When the guy stands up there and says, "Gee, I dropped the ball and forgot it," and it sets us off another six months.
I mean,
and we're catching hell because everybody thinks that we're hiding the money for Ackerman Road.
Yeah, somewhere. I mean, because we're getting the blame for something that's not our fault, but we still want to proceed because I know these citizens, they want their streets fixed. We understand that. But, you know, I'll make a motion to let her open up a bid for a new engineering firm.
No, the same thing. I'll make a motion to reach out.
You can
let her
second.
Yeah, I'll second.
There you go.
We have a motion by Councilmember Salazar and seconded by Councilmember Martin to have the city manager open bids for city engineering services.
Correct.
City Secretary, please call roll. Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember,
who you missed?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor Pro Tem. Sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Albert, yes. 9I, discussion and possible action on proposal from Ford Engineering for Gaiety Lane Sewer Main Project.
I'd actually like to ask for a motion to table that.
Okay, do I have a motion to table 9I?
I'll put a motion to table that.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to table 9I by Councilmember Salazar, seconded by Mayor Peyton Grant. To table a discussion of possible action on proposal from Ford Engineering for Gaiety Lane Sewer Main Project. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Albert?
Yes. Moving on to 9J, discussion and possible action on Bexar County Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, Program Cooperative Agreement.
So every 3 years, we have to approve this agreement if we want to stay a part of the Bexar County CDBG Grant Eligibility Program. That funding comes from HUD and goes to the county. We are an entitlement community, but we have to opt in to participate. So that means if we keep this agreement current, then we can still apply for CDBG grants for
recommend approving this.
Entertain a motion to accept the Bexar County Community Development Block Grant Program Cooperative Agreement. Everybody in favor, every 3 years. Okay.
Just to renew it.
A second.
We have a motion to stay with the CDBG Program Cooperative for the next 3 years. Seconded by Councilmember Mark. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Dreyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Abinata?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Alvarez?
Yes.
Just real quick, Mayor. You know, our city staff is doing a hell of a job getting these grants and moving these streets forward. Not as fast as the citizens would want us to, but they are moving forward, and they're continuing to get grants to help build our street. All I ask is that the citizens be patient. We'll get it done.
Thank you, Councilmember Salazar. Opening 9K, discussion and possible action to award a contract for the Borchers Drive reconstruction project.
Thank you. I'm Jared Mott from M&S Engineering, and we've received bids for Borchers Drive reconstruction on June 3rd, and a total of 6 bids were received and read aloud. There was a base bid evaluated, and an alternate as well. Based on the base bid only, Hayden Paving submitted the lowest responsive bid. Base plus additive alternative, the addition to that would include concrete encasement around the manholes, is also the lowest bid by Hayden Paving. And we recommend that the council go ahead and approve Hayden Paving, as they have been the lowest responsive bid after looking at past work history and responsiveness and the bid being administratively complete.
So what was the bid?
What's the price?
Oh, the price, yeah. So the base bid plus alternative comes to $403,760.45.
I always want to know, where does 45 cents come from? Do not people know how to round up or down?
I make a motion we accept the bid from Hayden Paving to do the contract on Borchers Drive.
I have a question.
Yeah, I was going to say there should be more discussion.
So Hayden Paving, where are they located at?
Wexford, literally. Kirby.
By that road.
Okay. Can you tell me what big jobs they have done in the past?
I have not. I do not know specifically. I have not worked with them personally, but I do understand that the city has had past history with them.
They did a good job on the parking lot at the pool.
Yeah, we've worked with them quite a bit.
What is your interpretation for Hayden?
I mean, the project we don't within the law, but they have done. They did City Hall parking lot a few years ago. They did the Johns Road parking lot about a month and a half ago. We have never worked with them on a street project.
Because I don't want to get the city in another predicament like we did with the Benzingerman Road project. That's the reason why I asked.
That's for sure.
Okay.
And this is one of those deals where they don't sub it out. They're going to do it themselves, correct?
They are the main contractor. I have not looked at the details, but I do believe they plan to do it themselves.
Any more discussion?
project in the amount of $353,000. And then the M&S proposal for their services that you all approved was $34,400. So in our city budget this year, we only have $388,000 budgeted for the project. So just understand that all the bids came in higher than what we budgeted, but we talked about that previously, so we will have to amend our budget to accommodate the actual bid amount. So just keep that in mind. And that's just the construction.
Not the engineering.
So you're looking at $444,136.45, and that's putting in some 10% contingency in there. So we're going to get about $90,000 short in the budget. So you will have to amend that.
I don't have a problem amending it. Just let's get this street done. Let's get this street done.
Yep.
Any more discussion? Okay, we have a motion to accept the Hayden Paving bid for the contract for the Borchers Drive reconstruction project. Motion by Councilmember Martin, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
Yes.
Mayor Aldrich?
Yes. Now I will open up 9L. Discussion and possible action on 4th of July fireworks in the park event.
Right to
so, at our last meeting, I know we had some discussion about the fact that we had not been funded for the fireworks event. HEB's been the city's sponsor for the fireworks the last several years. We had applied for that funding. We had not heard from them. So, just by consensus last meeting, we said, okay, we're not going to move forward. We can afford it. We got notice on Thursday or Friday, or last week, Friday, that the check had been mailed. So,
checks in the mail.
When you apply for funding for something, you take it, you have to use it for it and say you want to use it for it. That's why it's been out, you know, the notification to let council know that we've been funded. And so we started moving quickly to see if we could pull the event off. So we now have the contract for fireworks. We have vendor applications that are out for food vendors. We have secured a van. And we also have started receiving sponsorship. So I sent out emails just yesterday to all of our 2019 sponsors, and three have already agreed to sponsor one personally delivered a check today. So I'm comfortable that we'll get the funding for the project. We have $20,000 in our budget right now for City Festival. Plus the additional sponsorship, hopefully we will get most of that money back. Additionally, we will charge for parking at the event, which is not new. This is going to be the third time that we charge for parking. It's $5 a car load after 6. So if you come at 5, the event is from 5 to 10. You get in free from 5 to 5:59. At 6 p.m., no matter where you are in that line, you will have to pay $5 a car load, and the city will keep those funds as well as pay for the event, basically. We have an advertisement, we have banners up. If anybody's interested in serving as a food vendor, you can contact Patty Cox at City Hall. You do have to pay the $50 booth rental fee. There's an extra $20 if you want electricity at your booth. And then, because you're a food vendor, you're not a restaurant that already has a license, you will have to secure a temporary food handler's permit on your office as well. But it's all cash. You receive their money. There's no funds.
For schedule of events, what time would the fireworks show start?
At 9:30.
Morning, do we have anybody supplying the beer booths or anything?
No, sir. We do not have anybody with a liquor license so far. If anyone's interested, we reached out to the bars. They didn't make enough money the last time to do that. But if the city center wants to consider it, I think they've done it in the past. Another organization wants to do that. volunteers, or if there are any residents or community groups that want to get together and run children's activities like we've done in the past, they've had games and different little things. We don't have the staffing to do that. We're all going to be doing different tasks. So this is an opportunity for all of those community volunteers who are interested to step up and take that on.
This is where a Parks and Rec committee would come in handy.
Exactly.
Can I think? Here?
Okay.
Here, Rich.
Is there any discussion? We don't have to take, there's no action.
There's no action.
Okay.
All right. I will open, since we've done 10A and 11A, I will move to 12A, City Manager Announcements.
I really don't have anything today with the exception of a couple of things. So the pool, for those who haven't heard, we are offering water fitness classes at the Kirk Memorial Pool every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. And it's $5 donation upon arrival. And that's just for the state instructor for social education. She is a licensed fitness instructor. She has an insurance to provide the classes. The city is paying for the lifeguards to staff the classes. I heard the last class, the first class last week, was pretty well. They had about 12 people. So we encourage you to stay in that. And then also, the pool is open every Tuesday through Sunday. Hours are posted on our website and outside of the glass gate. And then we encourage everybody to come to support this July event. So please remember that personal fireworks are banned in our city. So you should not be popping fireworks in your front yard, your backyard, or any other area. They are banned in the city limits. And then lastly, the city offices will be closed on that Monday, July 10th. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. 13A, request and announcements. Request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agenda and announcements on city events and community interests. Council member Salazar.
No, I don't have anything to add to that part. I only want to send out my condolences to the family of Frank Gonzalez. Of course, all those old police officers are going by the wayside. When he had passed away last week, and I worked with him for over 15 years. And just as when you retire, it looks like when you move on. But, I just want to send condolences to Frank Gonzalez's family.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Council member Greider.
Also, I would like to publicly have condolences to former Councilman Thomas Hernandez's family. Everybody by now probably has heard what happened, and we just want to, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. That's it.
Condolences again to the Hernandez family. That was a horrible accident. And congratulations, Chief. They're going to do a good job. That's all I have. Thank you.
Councilmember Martin.
I got two things. We all know how we've been getting hammered over the streets. Well, today I went to see him. Talk to their public works director, try to learn something about what they do, learn about the zipper machine, asphalt zipper. Wealth of information. I spent about 2 hours with him this morning. He showed me around his city, showed me the process. He said he's willing to help us in any way we need it. They're going to start cutting streets in June if we want to come down and watch, see how it operates. Or he could come up and explain to us what the intel and the details. And cause he'd like to learn what we do too, you know. But he's a wealth of information. And, you know, first thing we got to work on is getting a crew. We got to hire people. We can do anything. But another thing that I don't like in these contracts, they're killing me, hauling this reclaim off and giving it away. He said he gets $3 a ton for that reclaim, and they reuse it in that mixer. I don't understand why we're giving our money away. And that's all I got.
Councilmember Apodaca.
animal shelter has an abundance of little guys and girls that want to come to your house. So if anybody is interested, don't forget about our animal shelter. And also, this Saturday, the Kirby Senior Center will be having their parking lot market day. It's from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. The last time that we had it, we had a great time. It was really nice, lots of vendors, lots of things to look at and buy. So if you're not doing anything between 8 and 3, please stop by. And it's at the Senior Center parking lot.
All right, I would also like to express my condolences to the Hernandez family during this difficult time. Monique, can we see what it would take to put the stop sign back at Telegraph and Swan?
I just didn't put it up. It's already dedicated. If it just disappeared, yeah.
And I know at one time, a long, long time ago, that there was a stop sign at Gaiety and Cinderella.
Yeah, there was.
People absolutely blow through that intersection.
And it's got a big dip on there, too.
No, the dip's gone. I would like to see stop what it would take to stop signs in those two places. And I was thinking about the citizenship award that Mrs. Clay was talking about. Maybe that could be something brought up to the beautification committee, that they could take that on. And we can certainly approach them with that. And also, I would like to thank everybody that has come out tonight, and especially everybody that continuously shows up to these meetings, every meeting, you know, that we have. And thank you for standing by me and listening to me mumble words and everything else. I'm getting my feet. I'm still learning. I will continue to learn. But I wanted to thank you for coming out to support our city. I'm very thankful for our city employees, and thank you for what you do. And that's it. Meeting adjourned. Everybody be safe going home. Don't get lost.